And now back to
The Rich Eisen Show.
Now.
The hiring has begun in the NFL.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The New York Jets fired the first shot today to hire as an offensive coordinator the man who will come to New York, Nathaniel Hackett. And you could already hear the howls. I kind of like the hire.
Today's guests, NFL on Fox analyst Greg Olson, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, plus latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Oh, yes. Oh, baby. It is time for this Friday before Championship Sunday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We're live right here on the Roku channel. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. So excited to be here with all of you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Please call us. Tell us what you think is going to happen this weekend. If you want to give us your prediction as to who will make Super Bowl 57, we're all for it. Please do so. It'll be a lot of fun here on this show. We have Greg Olson, who's getting set to call the NFC Championship game on Fox on Sunday. He's calling into this show first up in about 20 minutes time. And then Tom Pelissero is going to join us as only one head coaching spot has been filled right now. Sean Payton is still out there, apparently, for somebody to go and just generationally enrich him more than he already is and have him come and be the head coach there. Is it the Denver Broncos? Could he go to Arizona or stay at Fox? What is going on with all the coaching searches? Dan Quinn, TJ Jefferson, I'll go to you first, said that he's sticking around in Dallas to stay because there's still unfinished business. And, that one kind of surprised me, to be honest with you.
Compensated. Maybe very so. Correctly, Rich.
Well, I'll ask that of Tom. Well, Tom is going to join us shortly, but good to see you over there, TJ. Light that candle. Chris
how
Brockman,
doing,
how are you over there?
What up, man?
Good to see you.
What up?
TJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
How you doing, Rich?
I am
Friday,
so glad
baby.
You are here because do you know how many people are looking forward to your weather report at the end of this program?
Millions.
Not to get you flop sweating going already.
Definitely,
at the top
Chris,
of the
hour.
I'm ready.
TJ just wants to laugh.
I have friends who say, please tell me Mike's doing a weather report.
See that? I like that. Tell them thank you, and I'm ready for it.
Do you really? Okay. Do I really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I will show you the text.
I actually believe this.
I believe you. Yeah.
People want to see me sweat.
And that's what it is. They're not interested in the information.
No, they
it's the
see
entertainment
sweat.
Factor.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Totally.
Yeah. It's like, yes.
I could say it's snowing. It could be sunny as hell.
The most entertaining weatherman since Lloyd Lindsey Young. And everyone remembers him from the Northeast.
Lindsey Young.
Very good. So and another three-name guy who folks in New Jersey know very well.
Yes.
So that's the way we're rolling here on this program. What's more likely? We'll give you our picks for Super Bowl 57. Who we think is going to make it. That's how we're going to go out the door later on today.
Rich, we're still on the ankle watch, too, though. Let's
well,
not forget.
I mean, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think Mahomes is talking today. But
well, you never know when video might pop up.
We could just imagine it. So we've been having a lot of fun with the ankle watch, no question about it. Let's talk about these quarterbacks. The four that are remaining. The four quarterbacks that are remaining. One has an opportunity to win his second Super Bowl. One has an opportunity to make his second Super Bowl in consecutive years in just his third year. And then there's two young'uns on the other side. And one happens to be an MVP candidate, and the other one happens to be a Rookie of the Year candidate and one of the most amazing stories of all time. I'm talking about, obviously, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, and Brock Purdy. How about that as the final four quarterbacks of this NFL campaign? And so many are talking about the AFC Championship game because of Mahomes versus Burrow and the fact that we are watching some young, talented quarterbacks who appear to be quite generationally talented going against each other, forging a rivalry in the conference that Brady and Peyton Manning had so many great moments together. And last year, we thought that was the birth of the Mahomes and Allen rivalry. And this year, coming in to this year, the conversation was not will Mahomes and Allen play each other in the playoffs, but just which round was it going to happen in? And sure enough, they didn't get to see each other because for the second straight year, Joe Burrow has raised his hand and said, I've got a seat at this table. And in terms of this rivalry between the two, I've got some numbers. It's fascinating that these two guys already right now are on the list of quarterbacks all time that have 50 or more percent of their franchise's playoff wins in the history of their franchises. Mahomes and Joe Burrow both have exactly half of the all-time playoff wins for their franchises. Mahomes has 9 career playoff wins. Burrow has 5. We'll do the math. The Chiefs have 18 career playoff wins, and the Bengals have just 10 career playoff wins. That's it.
That's crazy when you consider the Bengals have been to 3 Super Bowls.
And they have just 50% of their wins. Another quarterback with 50% of their franchise's wins, Jim Kelly. Bills have 18 all-time playoff wins, just like the Chiefs. Kelly has 9 of them. The other 4 quarterbacks, you can guess one of them, Chris.
Tom Brady.
He has 30 of the Patriots' 37 all-time playoff wins, 81%. The only one with a higher percentage of his team's all-time playoff wins. Drew Brees has 9 of the 10 Saints' all-time playoff wins. John Elway has 14 of the Broncos' 23. 60.9%. Nice. Close to being nice.
Almost nice. Yeah.
And how about this one? Our buddy Kurt Warner has 57.1% of the Cardinals' all-time playoff wins. He has 4 of the franchise's 7.
Did you mention Russell Wilson?
I did not. He does not have that large percentage of it.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Well, he doesn't have over 50%. This is...
Jim Zorn was putting in work?
All time. Well, Matthew Hasselbeck, as you know, made the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, that's so. True. Good point. Good point.
So, look, these two are now, making notches for their franchises all time. And now against each other, you want to talk about this rivalry here. I've got an interesting statistic for you. They're all over my desk. I got to find it for you. Here it is. Mahomes and Burrow, as we know, have played each other 3 times, and Burrow's won all 3. The NFL Network Research Department came up with a list of notable quarterbacks to win their first 3 or more starts against their rival in head-to-head matchups. Aikman beat Steve Young in the first 3 times he faced him.
No way.
Bradshaw beat Roger Staubach the first 4 times he faced him.
Okay.
Ken Stabler beat Dan Fouts the first 5 times he faced him. Bart Starr beat Fran Tarkenton the first 5 times he faced him. And Tom Brady beat Peyton Manning the first 6 times he faced him. And this has an opportunity to just get right in this mix, this all-time mix. Can't wait. Nor can Joe Burrow, who said this about taking on a Chiefs team that is once again hosting them in the AFC Championship game. Coming in as the top seed. They weren't the top seed. Remember last year it was the Titans, the top seed, and Burrow knocked them off. He's going for another playoff victory against the top seed in the conference in as many years. Here was Burrow about this.
We've been in these spots. We have the experience. We know what team we're playing. The team that's been to this game the last 5 seasons, and they've all been in that stadium. So to me, they're still the team to beat. And we're coming for them, but we know it's going to be tough. We know it's going to be hard fought, and we know the kind of players that they have on that side.
For the radio audience.
So cool looking.
It doesn't look like he even has to shave. You know what I mean? Like he's a...
Shave. He doesn't sweat. He doesn't... Like,
look at him. He is like
a clone.
He looks 12. You know what I mean? Like he is just starting. He is a baby-faced assassin. And I really thought to myself, I'm going to maybe show my age here. I don't care. It reminds me of another baby-faced assassin, Finster Baby from Looney Tunes. Wow. Look at that. Smoking a cigar.
Oh, wow.
He is. It's just like coming for you.
I never knew that kid's name until right
Finster
now.
Finster Baby. He's the Finster Baby of quarterbacks. Look at that right there. He's coming for you.
How did I not know this?
And you know, He got the house surrounded, and the house is Burrowhead. Oh, baby, I can't wait for it.
Chiefs better not let this dude win, man. If you rename your home field Burrowhead, come on now. That's all anybody's going to be talking about for a whole year.
It is.
The disrespect is real.
Willie Gay, we went out the door yesterday with Willie Gay, the linebacker,
popping
being asked about it. He was just not even terribly happy about it at all, and then asked, well, what impresses you about it? Anything impressive about the Bengals offense? He said, nothing.
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 Yeah, right.
Finster baby, the baby faced assassin is coming to rename the stadium.
Dude.
Then there's the other quarterback matchup. I mean, nobody is like Hurts versus Purdy. I'm telling you, by the end of the day, and that day could potentially be two Sunday nights from this weekend, the story of the sports world could be Brock Purdy. And the MVP of the league could be Jalen Hurts. These are all two very real possibilities here. And they're playing against each other in a playoff game representing the first time opposing starting quarterbacks will start a conference championship game under the age of 25. That's never happened. As a matter of fact, their combined age on Sunday of 47 years, 208 days is 2 years and 29 days older than just Tom Brady. Their combined age. Let me repeat that. Hurts plus Purdy on Sunday will just be 2 years and 29 days older than Tom Brady. And Brock Purdy could be the first rookie quarterback to ever win a conference championship game. That's never happened. And thus the first to ever start in a Super Bowl. And he's also got an opportunity to become the first rookie starter in any playoff game to beat the team that came in with the number one passing defense in the regular season, which is the Philadelphia Eagles. So it's not just a one seed, it's the number one pass defense. Rookies never in any playoff game ever beaten. It's only happened twice before. They're 0-2. And I'll explain who those other ones are later on when I give you our monster.com player of the weekend who needs to have that big game in order to win, as I do on these Friday shows during the playoffs. These two have faced each other before, by the way, as Hurts has a first of his own. Did you know? Let me get this stat. Have it right here. God, I love the NFL Network research staff. A 60-page guide they sent all of us. I've just been taking it all in. He's never, Jalen Hurts, started a regular season or playoff game against a team that ranked number one in scoring or total defense. How about that? Never done that before. The Niners are number one in scoring and total defense in 2022. He's never started a game against one. Against a top five scoring defense, he's done that. 4-3 in those games. Top five total defense, he's done that. He's 3-3 in those games. So this is kind of a first for Hurts, too. But again, not the first time they played against each other. You got the date here. November 9th, 2019. Iowa State at Oklahoma.
Yep.
Let me just say this. If the NFC Championship game plays out like this one. Now, obviously, Big 12 and NFC Championship game football. Two different universes. Two different universes. But this game, Jalen Hurts and Oklahoma took a 21-point lead into the locker room at halftime. 35-14 was the score there at halftime.
Okay.
By the end of the day, Brock Purdy had five touchdown passes and one rushing touchdown to overcome this deficit that was set up by Hurts' three touchdowns, thrown two to CeeDee Lamb, by the way, and he ran one in two. Brock Purdy, with 24 seconds left, had a two-point conversion to win it, and it got intercepted in the end zone. 42-41, Oklahoma wins.
Wow.
Purdy was asked about that game this week.
Yeah, it was a game, you know, just, you know, obviously there was a lot of points scored. You know, it was almost like you had to score every single time you had the ball almost. You know, different situation and scenario than what we're about to go through, you know, on Sunday. But, you know, it was a fun college game. It was a great experience to go against, you know, Jalen, and they had a great team, and he was making plays and stuff, and feel like we had to do the same to keep up and stay alive in that game as well. But, you know, this is a different situation, you know, different scenario going into Sunday.
Think about it. If I had told you on November 9th, 2019, hey, look at those highlights between Oklahoma and Iowa State, because that's the matchup of the 2023 calendar year NFC Championship game. What?
Like, what? Smoke, what are you smoking, bro? Let me get some.
What?
Give me some.
What?
Yeah, get out of here, man.
That's the weekend. Quarterback matchups in this quarterback-driven league. One of those four quarterbacks I just mentioned going to win it all?
Somebody is.
Which two are going to face each other in the Super Bowl? We find out those answers respectively 2 weeks from this weekend, then just 2 days from this very moment talking. Greg Olson's calling the NFC Championship game. Let's be on time for him. Let's take a break and come back. I've got the top four, because there's only four, a top four list, top four Super Bowl matchups that I've ranked the matchups, what I prefer to see the most. We'll see if you agree with me or not. What's more likely? 844-204-RICH phone calls. Tom Pelissero on the latest of injury fronts for championship weekend and coaching searches. Take a break. Greg Olson of Fox when we come back. This is it. The putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is this how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software? To see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. With visibility and control of your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more, NetSuite is everything you need to grow all in one place. With NetSuite, you can automate your processes and close your books in no time while staying well ahead of your competition. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite is a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/richpod. Head to netsuite.com/richpod for this special one-of-a-kind financing offer on the number one financial system for growing businesses. netsuite.com/richpod.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast, where each week we watch every episode of Smallville, a show that changed our lives forever and perhaps your lives too. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
Hello, I am Tom Welling.
What was the sign off now?
Always remember Talkville.
That's it. Always hold on to Smallville, folks.
We love you. Couldn't do it without you. We've got a great season two coming up.
Catch up with season one or start season two on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger is the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. I got to tell you something. Didn't I come back from the combine a few years ago, and I'm like, Greg Olson's got it. He's got the chops. He was on the field, you know, talking to the tight ends, and he was giving us the scoop on the tight ends for the combine. Well, he's come a very long way. He's gone from telling us who the 10th best tight end at the combine is in real time to getting set to call the NFC Championship game and Super Bowl 57 on Fox. And one of my favorites doing a dynamite job with Kevin Burkhardt and the rest of the crew is Greg Olson back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing good. I was enjoying the cargo short conversation. I got to listen in on that. I feel like there's a lot to unpack there.
Yes. Lots to good use of unpack for the garment. See, look at you turning phrases. I like it, Greg. So let's just jump right into it. Are you in Philly yet? Are you there for the game?
No, I'll fly there later today. So okay. I'll get in
all right.
Here in a few hours, and I know, like everybody else across the country, I don't think we could ask for a better game. And I know all of us are fired up to be there in Philly. And in the link and call this game between, you know, arguably the best two teams in the whole league, but for sure the best two teams in the NFC, that's for sure.
I know, and it's pretty cool that I think the league and the football gods got it right. I think these have been the best four teams in the NFL, certainly since, you know, the calendar turned to November, and here we are with both conference championship games representing the best. When you've talked to Purdy, Brock Purdy, what have you gleaned? What can you tell me about how this kid is pulling off and doing what he's doing, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, every time we get off our call with him, we've had him now. We had his debut when they, you know, beat the Bucks. They were up 28-0 at half, and we're sitting there at halftime saying, "Who is this kid
That's right.
out here throwing three touchdowns? Like, what's going on here?" All week we've been, you know, preparing for this to be the Christian McCaffrey show and protect the quarterback, and then there we were in his starting rookie debut, and he's up, you know, 28-0 at halftime against Brady and the Bucks. It was wild to see him there, and just now to see him all these months later, and just the growth that he's had just as a player. But from the first time we got off the call with him, all the way up through last week's divisional round game, every time we get off, we say the same things to each other. We say, it's hard to believe he's a rookie. It's hard to believe he's now played seven games in the NFL. Like, he has a really interesting demeanor, and what I mean by is he's very confident. He's very calm. He seems like a guy who's kind of like, yeah, been there, done that, been through the fire, come out the other side. And here we are. We're like, you know, you're getting ready to go play the Dallas Cowboys in a divisional round game, and the stakes just keep getting bigger and bigger, and you would never know it. And I think that's the biggest thing, that when you talk to Kyle Shanahan and you know, the guys are on the team with McCaffrey and Kittle and Trent Williams, they all say the same thing. They're like, this kid, from the moment he got here, even though he was the last pick of the draft, we all know his story, they're like, he had a personality and an approach, even in training camp throughout the whole offseason, that just caused us to kind of look at ourselves and go, you know, did we just kind of find a diamond in the rough? They're like, it was from day one. What caught everyone's attention was just his approach, his demeanor, his confidence. And now he's just growing as a passer and growing as a quarterback in this league. But it's evident the moment you talk to him.
So what did the Cowboys do that you think the Eagles can also affect to make Purdy look as green as we think he could, right? And I think we saw Purdy struggle without the turnovers. Dak was the one who did that. But what do you think the Eagles can affect that the Cowboys put on film to knock the Niners out and make Purdy maybe even turn it over? What do you got for me there, Greg?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of similarities. I think as we were preparing last week, you know, as we were preparing for this San Francisco offense and what they were going to face with Dallas's defense, I think, you know, we said it at the top of the broadcast, you know, that was the best defense that the 49ers had faced since Purdy took over. Mm-hmm. So that was by far the most talent. That was by far the best pass rush and speed. And I think the speed element is where Dallas and Philadelphia defensively are pretty similar. You know, they don't just have one or two guys up front who can rush the passer and get after you. They got four or five. They got guys at the second level and in the secondary who can support the run from depth, play with speed, play on fire. So in that regard, I think there's a lot of similarities. You know, schematically and the way they build their fronts and coverages, you know, the way Jonathan Gannon with the Eagles versus Dan Quinn with Dallas, obviously it's a little bit different. But I think that the thing that Purdy and this offense of San Francisco is going to face is there's going to be speed at all three levels. You think there's space there, all of a sudden that space gets eaten up really quickly. You know, whether it's Hassan Reddick coming off the edge, or Gardner Johnson coming from like that safety nickel kind of hybrid spot that he's been playing now. So it's a talented group. And I would say the same thing we did last week. This is probably the best defense Brock Purdy has faced now again. And that's the way the playoffs work. Each week, the stakes get a little higher. Each week, the competition just takes up a little bit of a, you know, a notch up. And it's a great challenge, but, you know, listen, they got Kyle Shanahan. He has unbelievable weapons around him. He has a very good offensive line. San Francisco doesn't take a backseat in talent or scheme to anybody. And I think that's what makes this matchup so interesting, is regardless of who's got the ball, regardless of the situation, there are stars, there is talent, there is coaching on all aspects of this game. And that's the way it should be.
Greg Olsen getting set to call the NFC Championship game Sunday, and then two Sundays after that, Super Bowl 57 on Fox right here on the Rich Eisen Show. When you chat with Nick Sirianni, you got a good story. He just is so colorful is a great way to describe it. What's he like when you're chatting with him? And you got a good one for me, Greg, when he's talked to you guys?
You know, I don't know if I have like a specific story he's told. He's been really fun to talk to. I mean, so these calls have probably been like as fun as any aspect of this job. I mean, I've gotten to have conversations with more coaches and coordinators and players than I had in 15 years of playing in the league. You're just exposed to so many different people. But, you know, we always kind of get on him because when he does the call, he's like sitting. It's a Zoom call, so like we can see him. But he's like sitting on some like random couch in his office, and he's just like slouched back, super relaxed, and it's like he's sitting in your living room, like having a beer, just kind of shooting the you know what. Like it's just a very relaxed and calm environment, and I think that's the appeal of him. He's ultra confident. They have an unbelievable staff of guys who really understand what the mission is, what their plan is, how they're going to execute that. And I think that's what comes across the most is like when you talk to people around the Philadelphia organization, whether it's Sirianni on our calls and just his body language and how at ease and confident and comfortable he is. It's the same way when you talk to the players. I think there's just a really quiet confidence amongst the group. They're very sure of who they are. They're very sure of where their strengths are and what their strengths aren't. And I think that's the sign of a good team. I think that's the sign of a team that's kind of been battle tested. They dealt with that adversity at the end of the year with Jalen missing a couple weeks and having some tough times there trying to find wins. But I can't say enough about the job that Sirianni has done. I mean, we had his coaching debut last year, week one down against the Falcons. And, you know, we were preparing for the game. We didn't know a ton about him. We knew he only had the wide receiver background and came from Indy, and Jalen Hurts was now the week one starter. How was that going to last? And now here they are, fast forward, you know, almost two full seasons, and they're in the NFC Championship. It's an pretty incredible and impressive coaching job that he's done, and you can't say enough good things about him.
Well, Greg, you had a front row seat to a dual threat quarterback winning MVP and taking an NFC championship victory to the Super Bowl in Cam Newton. Any similarities to him and Jalen Hurts that you've seen at all on film, chatting with them? You got something for me on that front? I'll take a stab there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I see a lot of similarities, you know, run game wise, starting with that, like run game scheme and style. There's a lot of similarities to what we were doing with Cam, you know, here in Carolina, especially down in the red zone. You know, you hear coaches talk about that a lot down in the red zone, you know, accounting for the quarterback when the field becomes, you know, wider than it is deep, right? Like that whole idea of how the field shape changes and how the schemes change and the coverages and how you try to attack zones in the red zone. It's hard to account for the quarterback. And, you know, Cam made a living as a red zone runner, both designed and improv. And I see a lot of that in their scheme with Jalen. And it's a huge challenge, their ability to spread you out, guard every blade of grass, and be able to still throw the ball over your head with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And I think that's what makes this style, the way they're operating as a run-first quarterback, run-heavy team, is they still have that element of the elite passing game. Between those two wide receivers, Dallas Goedert, you overcommit to trying to take that run away. You overcommit to trying to account for the extra body in the box, to account for the quarterback pulling the ball with Jalen. And all of a sudden, that passing game, they're throwing it over your head. And A.J. Brown's one of the best in the league, along with Devontae Smith. So that's the cat-and-mouse game that I'm most looking forward to. I think that matchup between D'Amico Ryans and Shane Steichen and Sirianni, like, how willing are you to let them run a little bit so as not to let them have the big explosive plays in that run game? We didn't quite have that same passing philosophy or, you know, personnel here in Carolina, but as far as the ability to make you account for the quarterback and what that does with the offensive line and the run blocking and the numbers, there's a lot of similar scheme and philosophy that I see with what they're doing that we did for a long time here in Carolina.
To me, you know, any key that involves the guy who I think is going to win Defensive Player of the Year, it's not a very long limb that you're going out on. But to me, Nick Bosa, if I'm D'Amico Ryans, I'm testing Lane Johnson's groin from jump with him, and I'm going to see what's happening. And because that way I'm affecting the run game on the way to the pass. That's what I'm looking at when I'm starting. What about you, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, again, we haven't talked to D'Amico yet. I'd be interested to pick his brain here. We're going to talk to him tomorrow in our meeting. But, you know, if I'm them and I'm just looking at this, back to like I was just saying about, you know, dealing with those threats in the passing game that Philadelphia has, I think knowing I have Nick Bosa and I have Arik Armstead and I got Greenlaw and Fred Warner, you know, four of your best players are in your front seven.
Right.
I think at some point, for as good as Philly's offensive line is, they're the best in the league. At some point, I think you have to say, all right, Bosa, we're not going to bring an extra safety down. We're not going to go crazy. You guys got to play. Like, you guys, he's arguably the best defensive player in the year. I agree with you. He's going to be the player of the year. Like, you guys got to go win. And you need to go chase down some of these design quarterback runs. And you guys need to win your matchups up front, so I don't have to overcommit. And I can maybe keep some of those extra bodies in the back end playing our zones, getting an extra body in Jalen's face in the passing game. The second you have to overcommit to that, if they account for Bosa and they can block Greenlaw and Fred Warner, and all of a sudden now you're bringing an extra safety, that's where the problems come. So I'm with you. I think this game, Nick Bosa needs to be the star. I think Fred Warner needs to be a star. And those guys are amongst the best of anybody at their position in the entire league. D'Amico Ryans is going to need those guys in that front seven to play to their complete abilities, and that will go a long way in trying to take away the 100 things that Philly can do against you on offense.
And it just shows you about how, you know, this is a game in the trenches, and the quarterbacks are fascinating, and the pass catchers are fascinating. We didn't even talk about McCaffrey. I mean, obviously, he could flip this script in a hurry, right? I mean, how effective do you think he's going to be here? What do you think about that before I let you go, Greg?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough good things. Obviously, I got a front row seat with McCaffrey when he first joined the league for, you know, his first 3 years. We were teammates and obviously a close buddy. I mean, I've seen just what he's capable of, you know, firsthand. And I think a lot's been made and just, you know, rightfully so, you know, about since Purdy's taken over, they're 7-0 and, you know, they haven't lost. Well, since McCaffrey got here, outside of that first game, he got there on like Friday, and he ended up playing a little bit in the Sunday game. They lost to Kansas City. Starting that next week, in his first full week on the team, they're 12-0, right? So, like, they haven't lost since McCaffrey's been a full-time player. Now, there's a lot more nuance than just adding one player, but the point is, he is in the best offense for his skill set. The creativity and the offensive mind and the players around him with Debo and George Kittle and Juszczyk, like all of them, you don't really put a position on. They're all kind of this like positionless player tag, and they have one of the best offensive minds at creating advantage and creating stress on the defense with Kyle Shanahan. So I think it's the perfect marriage. I think it's the perfect, you know, the perfect combination of talent and scheme, and they got a lot of guys, and McCaffrey obviously is there at the top of that list. And I just, like I said before, no matter who has the ball, no matter what the situation of the game is, the storylines and the matchups in this game are as good as you could hope for. And I know I'm excited to get up there and talk about it and see how it unfolds. And I'm sure all you guys are the same.
Safe flight, Greg. Keep killing it, man. I love listening to you. You're awesome at this. You are awesome at it.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks. It's always good to be on. And
right back at
you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
See you in a couple weeks. That's Greg Olsen of Fox calling the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. He's so good at it. And he's just great to listen to. When he talks, you don't think he's talking too much, but he's giving you information and getting out before the snap. And he's so engaging. And his energy is terrific. Quick thing here. The NFC Championship game features, in my mind, the two best players acquired. The two best offseason acquisitions in the hell going on month of March. We were talking about who was going where and who was landing where and how it was going to change the landscape of everything. Championship weekend and Super Bowl for sure. Davante Adams here and Khalil Mack there and Randy Gregory here, just in the AFC West alone, right? And the two biggest, most important acquisitions did not occur in March. McCaffrey, you just heard. Midseason, we may talk about this if the Niners go on and win it all, and he is as good as we expect him to be. The greatest trade deadline pickup maybe ever?
Ooh.
I mean, I don't know other trade deadline pickups and, you know, on the top of my head, but what, as Greg just pointed out, Greg Olson just pointed out, since he's been a full week practice every single week member of the Niners, they haven't lost. He arrived, if you recall, late in the week against the Chiefs, and they're like, well, he's so damn smart, he knows the offense. I mean, he's a McCaffrey, I'm a Shanahan. It's in our DNA. Get out there. Get out there. They lost that game, haven't lost. And in the way that the Niners are so great, where receivers run and runners catch. Debo may be the best receiver that runs, and McCaffrey is definitely the best running back that catches. That is for sure. I remember McCaffrey at the combine. He looked better at running receiver routes at the combine than every receiver that was there as a receiver. And for Shanahan, where everybody does everything, it's everybody's like a Swiss Army knife. Receivers block, receivers run. Runners block, runners run, runners catch. He's perfect. And then on draft night, the Eagles flip a one to Tennessee for A.J. Brown. And I love this guy. Because, again, we're talking about how many times the Eagles run it. 44 times for 90 million yards against the Giants. When you try to stop that with Hurts also running it, they throw it over the top of your head, as Greg Olson just said. And the person who does it, obviously Devontae Smith from a previous draft. In this year's draft, they drafted technically A.J. Brown, but already as a grown-ass man veteran. And this is he's great because he's not the so-called diva receiver. Listen to this exchange this week with him.
If you throw the ball to me 100 times, I'm going to want it 101 times. You know, I just feel, yeah, you know, it just, I just, me personally, I just feel like I can change the game, you know, in a moment, you know, and, you know, getting the ball often, you know, keeps you going, keeps you in the rhythm, you know, definitely just puts you in the zone, you're locked in, and of course, you know, of course I want the ball.
Have you ever heard that phrase that, that has been associated with receivers, called them divas? I mean, I don't know if that's something that you would embrace or not, but is that kind of the mentality? Does that kind of include that term, like, in that mentality?
No, I'm never the receiver to go on the sideline or to try to cause, like, problems on the sideline. I'm not that guy. I think that's what you can describe as a diva or whatever the case may be, but I'm not that person. You know, I'm a guy who goes and talks to the quarterback or talk to the OC and do it that way. You know, I'm not a guy to try to cause commotion on the sidelines. I'm not, that's not who I am. I'll never be that guy.
Every single thing A.J. Brown has done all year long reinforces the question I had on draft night and every single day since then. And the question is simple. How the hell did the Titans give him up, and why? Period. What are you thinking? Now, obviously, the general manager has since been let go in Tennessee after A.J. Brown torched Tennessee. But I had that question that night. That night may just be the night Howie Roseman won Executive of the Year. And both of those guys are in this game for the right to go to the Super Bowl. Amazing. Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH. Phone calls. Hour number two, Tom Pelissero. What's more likely coming up? Oh, we have so much more runway on this championship weekend preview show. .844-204-RICH, number to dial. You can listen to the NFL on the NFL app, on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. Tom Pelissero coming up next hour to give us an update on all the coaching searches, everything that's going on in the NFL. There's still a little bit of injury news talking about this week. I'm assuming we're done with the Mahomes ankle talk. I don't know. Is he talking today? Do we know if Mahomes is talking today? Because if he is, that means his ankle's attached. And we have done again, Emmy Award winning yeoman's work the last 2 days, talking about Mahomes' ankle and how he's stepped down from the riser in Kansas City, where the press conference podium stands, using the two smaller steps on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, just jumping straight off the riser. I mean, we've done incredible work. Again, this was Wednesday, step, and out. And then on Thursday, he just saw those little steps, and he's like, I'm going to take one giant leap for Chiefs kind and show everybody that I'm fine on my right foot and my right ankle that the foot is attached to, and I'm just going to jump. I'm just going to step off that riser, and here it is. I mean, that's a choice. That's a choice. That's a choice made out of, I think, showing off that he's healthy to everybody. And my favorite part about this is we had two very long segments about it, Wednesday and Thursday. You caught somebody commenting on the Rich Eisen Show YouTube page.
Yeah, comment cracked me up.
Saying that they can't believe that this is not the same video, but an entirely different video of 10 minutes in length. Yeah, I can't believe this isn't a repost from yesterday, but an actual other entire 10-minute video. Thank you, Mike O'Leary, for sticking with us and understanding what we're doing here. Well done.
We hard see hitting our journalism,
it's
man.
Very good. You know what? It's kind of like, you know what it is? It's kind of like the two Godfathers. That's what it is. There's one and there's two. And you don't know which one's better.
They're so good. You go back and forth.
They are great.
We know.
It's instead of the saga being of the Corleone family, it's of Patrick Mahomes' right ankle.
And we definitely know the third one isn't as good, so maybe we should just stop it.
This is kind of the third right here. But every time I think I'm out, Mahomes' ankle
pulls you back in.
Let's get them all. Let's get them all now while we got the money.
That was from the Mahomes stepping off the podium entirely. That was Mahomes' ankle part two. Very excited about it. We'll ask Pellicero about it.
Tommy P.
Now I'm cracking myself up. How great was that with Charlie Steiner yesterday?
I cracked myself up. Hilarious.
Hey, Rich, you know, you spoke earlier about best trade deadline deals in history. I looked up some of these.
Okay.
There were some good ones, man.
What do you got?
2017, Eagles added Jay Ajayi, which helped them get to the Super Bowl. Rams trading for Von Miller in 21.
Von Miller's a good one.
That's a good one.
The Rams trading for Jalen Ramsey.
In 2019.
2019. Bills acquiring Cornelius Bennett in 87.
Okay.
And Seahawks getting Marshawn Lynch in 2010. And then I think a deal that most people kind of forget it happened in season, the Cowboys Herschel Walker trade. That was in October. So
they also picked up Amari Cooper midseason.
And that
too was
also one, yeah. But that didn't lead to anything, so that's why I didn't bother.
Well, it led to a large void this year.
So that's why I kept that one out.
I'd push back saying it led to nothing.
Not having him this year, pretty dumb.
You think?
Pretty dumb.
But everyone's pointing out it's the Zeke contract that handcuffed him, where they felt the $20 million a year for a receiver, we got to get him out.
Jerry's rich. It doesn't matter.
That's got nothing to do with. That's the beauty of the NFL. It doesn't matter how rich you are as an individual. It doesn't matter.
Well, then they don't have a good everybody has a similar as the Rams have.
Well, I don't know. They decided. That was the question coming in. It's like, really, these are all the weapons for Dak? Don't forget, that was the question coming in.
Oh, how can I?
Gallup was hurt, still hurt. Cooper's gone. Yeah. Then they lost Washington, right?
James, their receiver. Yeah, we thought he'd be back by week six.
They wound up getting rid of for T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, because T.Y. made that catch.
They should have gone to T.Y. in week one.
Yeah. He was sitting in the house.
That whole Odell didn't sign with anybody.
Nope.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I got to say, though, I like the moves, keeping the coaches. I mean, look, something to be said for stability, right?
If you are on hold, stay on hold. We got your phone calls coming up. I also have my top four favorite Super Bowl matchups. I've ranked them all.
The ones you're most looking forward to seeing.
I would like to see the most, or I think America would rank it the same
way. Man of the people?
I think I have my finger on the pulse.
I'm looking at you.
I believe. And then your phone calls. We'll get your phone calls. And then we've got What's More Likely. We've got Mike Del Tufo's weather report. And those are the next 2 hours hanging out here on this Friday on the Roku channel and more.
It's a fast first hour.
Laskin just cracked me up.
We're still on Roku. We are here on the Roku channel. which we love. We absolutely love that.
No doubt.
Okay, guys. I know where I'm watching the games.
The crib?
I'll be at the crib as soon as I can get home from my six-hour edition of NFL Game Day Morning. 6 hours.
Six.
9 o'clock That's Eastern long. To three, or as we would say out here, butt crack early.
Mm-hmm. It's still dark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My left eye just started twitching when I started talking about Matt, 6 a.m. to noon.
Here Matt Hasselbeck can't understand.
He's doing 3 hours.
They think that's a lot, too, that. By the way.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, 3 hours of TV.
3 hours.
Are you kidding me?
3 hours.
We did that in
this
sleep.
Show is 3 hours long, and it's the shortest show I do.
Yeah.
Game Day Morning is four. Then it's six on Championship Sunday. Oh. It's going to be eight Super and Bowl. A half on the Super Bowl. Sunday. And then
those are nuts.
And then the combine is 4 days. The draft is three.
I am actually shocked that the Super Bowl GDM hasn't gone to 10.
Be quiet. Will you just, don't speak it into existence, because you know there's going to be some executive.
But it was eight when
that's
I.
That's not a bad idea.
When I was there.
No.
Someone's stroking their beard.
We did a 10 one time.
That
I think
was 9 years ago.
Whatever.
New Orleans.
Stand.
Yeah,
he said, "Don't speak 10? That evil in him, Ricky Bobby."
Don't even do that.
Yeah.
Get out of here with that noise.
The telephone.
I'm shocked it's not 10. Why Super isn't it 10?
It's like talking about your kid's sleeping schedule. Want me to do that?
No.
For over 40 years, Jim Ross has been the voice of wrestling. Nobody has stories like Jim Ross, and he shares his tales with co-host Conrad Thompson on Grilling JR.
Vince McMahon was the top heel in the Attitude Era. It was a fresh character. It was new. It was material that we had not seen or heard to that date. And we couldn't have created a bigger or better heel.
No.
And we wanted to make more heels, and we tried to make more heels, and we did. But nothing compared to Vince.
The Grilling JR Podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.